Hello and welcome back to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas. We are on the Old Testament side of Scripture with a major and minor prophets overview. It's like our verse-by-verse Bible study series, but Pastor Ben covers more scriptures each time, a little less in depth, but just as much application. So with that, on today's show...
We're not judged like the prophet in the Old Testament. Every one of us here, listen to me, God expects us to be sharing our faith. He does. We have to look for divine opportunities. Now, we must not negate our God-given responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thanks for joining us today here at In Christ Radio. We are moving right along in our Major and Minor Prophets Overview series. We come to chapter 33 in the Major Prophet Book of Ezekiel, learning that God is calling Ezekiel to be a watchman, to share to the people what God has showed him, and that if he doesn't, then God is going to hold him accountable. Now, when we read Scripture, we must also allow Scripture to read us, and discern how we can apply it to our lives. But we need to be cautious, and not mix up application with interpretation. Interpretation of Scripture never changes. However, the application for our lives does, giving us a responsibility to share the gospel when prompted by the Holy Spirit, understanding that other people's salvation is not in our hands based on if we share the gospel or not, but rather a heart check on ourselves and if we are obedient to what God asks of us. Now, Ezekiel's circumstance is different than ours completely. So let's find out how, and join Pastor Ben in Ezekiel chapter 33 with the lesson titled, Watchmen on the Wall.
So remember, Ezekiel is right in the middle of his prophecy to the nation as he is prophesying from Babylon. And now he comes to chapter 33 where God's going to say to him, as a watchman, I'm going to hold you accountable. Okay, that really is the crux of Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel, yes, sir, you are a watchman, and I'm going to hold you accountable. Okay, now, before we get started in our text, I need to give you some balance on this. Why? Here's why. Because when we read chapter 33, and we'll read it with just kind of going through, we will be convicted because the word of God says to Ezekiel, if you don't share what I'm telling you to say, your blood or their blood is on your hands. And he's, oh. And so what you and I, we go, oh, if I don't share, I'm, oh. And you and I can both, we can find times in our lives where we go, you know, I really felt like I should have shared the gospel and I didn't. Are you telling me? And so I wanted to give you good balance on that. I wanted to give you balance without totally taking our responsibility to share the gospel. But tonight, we need to understand this chapter so that we can actually be at rest in our walks with God. And you go, why? Well, many people, especially new believers, will read this chapter, chapter 33, and walk away condemned and wondering if they would be destroyed. You go, what do you mean? They begin thinking that someone's eternal destination is based upon my ability or inability to share the gospel. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I don't know if I can do this. Now, I say this because God's going to talk to Ezekiel about the fact that he has called Ezekiel a watchman. And if Ezekiel does not share what God has showed him, then God's going to hold him accountable before heaven. Now, here's what we tend to do. We have to be so careful, listen to me now, put on your spiritual ears. We have to be so careful that we don't equate everything in the Word of God as applicable to us. In other words, we will sit there and we would call the men's group the watchmen on the wall, but we're not watchmen in the Old Testament prophetic sense. You guys with me? Okay? And so what people will do is they'll think, they'll read something, go, oh, this is where we are. This is how it is. And that's not necessarily the case, and I'll show you why in a minute. There are times in the Gospels where Jesus is talking and he is specifically talking to his disciples, and it doesn't have any application to us whatsoever because it was specifically to his disciples at that time. We have to remember that because you'll have people that go, everything in the Bible, it applies to us. Okay, well, there's that passage that says, you know, when Lazarus died, it says Jesus wept. That's one verse. How are we going to apply that? Well, I'm not Jesus. I mean, I cry sometimes. You understand that. It was specific, him crying for Lazarus. Jesus wept. It showed his humanity. That's what we're going to look at a little bit today. Now, when you think about sharing the gospel or sharing your faith, it can be fearful. It can be fearful without a full understanding and the interpretation first. So what I'm going to do is something very unusual for a pastor. I'm going to go ahead and give you the interpretation before we even talk about the text, okay? And then I'm going to share the application. The interpretation tonight is different than the application. You understand that, okay? Here's what you need to know. If you're taking note, jot this down. There's only one interpretation of Scripture, but there's multiple applications. There's only one, and Scripture will interpret Scripture, but there's only one. And so when you're sharing your faith and somebody comes to you and says, well, that's your interpretation. No, there's only one interpretation, but there are multiple applications. You go, okay, so what's the interpretation? Okay, stay with me. Before the Holy Spirit was given to each one of us, after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, do you guys remember the story? Jesus says, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so before that happened, okay, God in the Old Testament had called and anointed special men and women, and he called them to specifically hear his voice, okay, and then give the message to the people. Why do you say before that? Well, I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think about this. He would call them a prophet or a prophetess, and you guys understand Anna was a prophetess, so he would do that. He would call men, and he would give them special messages and special tasks that would only pertain to them. This was Old Testament prior to the cross. After Jesus ascended, he sent his Holy Spirit, so where you and I, we all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us individually. Now,
you go, well, then why do we need a pastor?
The pastor here, the pastor teacher is to equip you, Paul says, so that you can do the work of the ministry. So my job is to come and teach you the Bible, but he's already said it. So I'm not saying, well, let's not look at this. Thus saith the Lord. And I'll give you my take on what I think God is saying. No, no, no. You have the Holy Spirit in you already. He's already speaking to you. Which often reminds me, be careful when somebody goes, well, God told me to tell you. God showed me to tell you. And you go, okay, what did he say? Well, you need to. And he's like, well, has God told you that? And you're like, well, thank you, but God hasn't told me. Now, here's what I like to tell him. If God's not talking to you about it first, he's not going to give me a message for you. Now, if I went to Tiffany and I said, God has a message for you, and you go, okay, what is it? And you go, no way, that's what he's been speaking to me. You just confirmed it. That's different, okay? Why? Because the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to Tiffany about whatever she's going through, and then somebody else might confirm it. She might have been praying, God, give me confirmation. Give me something that, oh, guess what? I don't know. I just have this in my spirit. Now, Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, would come upon them and then leave them and come upon them and leave them. But God would call spokesmen and spokeswomen, you know, for God. And what they would do, jot this down, they were considered watchmen. They were the watchmen of Israel. They were the ones that spoke specifically because each of them, again, for us, the example in the room at that time would not have the Spirit to us speaking to us. So we needed somebody to hear from God and then deliver the message. If this was Old Testament time and I was the prophet, you would be attentive to go, okay, what's God saying? I really want to know. Oh, and I would say, thus saith the Lord. And then I would give you what he told me. This is why If you called yourself a prophet and you were going to prophesy and you were a false prophet, what would they do? If it didn't come true, they would take you out and stone you to death. That's how serious it was. So because it was God in the ear. What you need to know, this is Old Testament interpretation. God would then send the prophets, and you need to know that Ezekiel was one of those prophets. Okay? That's the interpretation. Watchman on the wall, specific Old Testament prophet. What's the application? Here's the application. Although you and I are not prophets or prophetess like we see in the Old Testament, we still have a responsibility to share the gospel when prompted by the Holy Spirit. You see, we could come over here and go, well, I'm not a prophet, so all right. No. The Holy Spirit still comes and he still prompts us. And what we have to do is we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that we obey even if the outcome is not what we desired. In other words, you share and you're mocked or whatever it might be. You go, listen, I did what you told me to do, Lord. I did what you told me to do. I'm not one to say, oh, well, I heard the audible voice from God. But for some reason, I knew that God was going to move greatly at church this past weekend. I didn't know how, and I didn't put any limits on him, and I didn't say this is what, you know, I just knew in my spirit. And I began praying last week and praying and say, God, this message, and Lord, you put this message in my heart. And then with what was going on in the world, I just knew that's what I had to say from the Lord. And his spirit moved, and it was amazing. So we have to be sensitive to God's spirit, and I'll tell you why. There have been times when I've been asked to teach at Grace Church that I felt like I was put on the spot for just to say, well, he's a good evangelist. Bring all your friends and everybody's going to get saved. And I really felt the pressure to perform instead of letting the Lord do the work. I was like, don't say that. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's the Lord who does the work. You go, why? Because it was a glorious time. God moved, people everywhere, praying a prayer. And then guess what? Ben jumps in his car and he's by himself and he drives back to Lubbock, right? There wasn't no glorious fanfare. There wasn't a parade for me here going, oh, look what you did. That's God. That's God. You go, what happened? You start preparing for Wednesday. See what God's going to do. Why? Because whether it's 35, 50, or one, that's important. That's one soul is so important to the Lord. One is so important. You go, Ben, is there a point to this? There is. Okay, so here's the application. We're not judged like the prophet in the Old Testament. Every one of us here, listen to me, God expects us to be sharing our faith. He does. We have to look for divine opportunities. Now, we must not negate our God-given responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus. But it doesn't mean, listen to me, it doesn't mean that if you don't share when you know you should, that you are condemned. You don't go home and go, oh, woe is me, I just get what. When your wife goes, what's wrong? I didn't share today, I knew I should have. That poor girl at the grocery store. That sort of thing. We're not condemned. But what we need to realize is that we do need to step out in faith, and we need to share. So many people are so afraid. Pastor, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know, like I get... A lot of times, guys, it's just sharing what God has done in your life. And a lot of times is, I once was, and now I'm... Yeah, I once was this. I once was, you know, and now I'm not. And they'll look at you and go, really? Well, what happened? What'd you do? Did you do a 12-step program? Did you do a 4-step? What'd you do? Did you meditate? Were you holding the logi? No, it was Jesus. And what'd you do? Well, I walked forward in a church and I prayed and I said, Lord, come into my heart. I need you. I can't do it on my own. And he did. You just stop talking right now. You're just kidding me. No. If you've been here long enough at this church, you know. You've heard Pastor Soph's testimony, same thing. Soph was, he'll tell you straight up, man. It's like, this is who I was, and I was out there, and I was living the vida loca, and I was having, and God got a hold of his heart. And then God did a huge favor, and he brought Soph and Yvonne and kept him here 20 years. And so, yay, amen. Yeah. You got one amen, so sorry. One amen. No, we're blessed, but you understand, it's a changed life from where he was. And I bet his family looks at him, because I watch the online, and there's a lot of people that watch him when he preaches, and they're probably just going, wow, that's not the same guy we used to run around with. He's passionate, and he's... So we need to share, because you never know what it'll do. You'll never know who's going to get saved. We also need to know that God's not going to hold someone's eternal state in our hands. Well, if you don't share, guess what? See, God is way too big, and he loves that person way too much to trust me, a sinner, to be effective in sharing the gospel that a person that he died for. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Now, I still think we need to share, and I'll tell you why. The story that came to mind when I read Ezekiel 33 was one of a personal story. And I was young, and I was working at the grocery store, and another young fella, about the same age, came in. I'm working produce. He gets a job in the deli department. His name was David. And I often felt like the Lord was telling me, you got to tell David about me. Tell David about me. Lord, I don't know. I don't know. He's my age, and he's going to think I'm weird, and I'm new in the faith, and I just got saved. And I'm just like, if he asks, I'll share. Well, I never really shared on David like I should have. I never really did. I never really presented the gospel to him like I would have anybody else. I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I figured, we'll just do friendship evangelism. He'll just see my life, and he'll ask. Well, the problem was, as it wasn't but a year later, that David actually died at the age of 21. And he died without me sharing the gospel with him. And so that story came to mind. It's like, oh, Lord, I should have. I should have shared. Well, see, God's not going to hold me responsible, but I should have shared. Fast forward 35 years. I'm now in the ministry. I get a text message. Hey, you remember Winona? Winona used to go to your church, James. James is battling cancer. Can you come to the hospital to pray? I go up to the hospital. This isn't like, should I share? I'm going in and I'm going to share. So I went in and I said, James, listen, you know what? Your wife's praying for you. Everybody's praying for you, this and this and this, but you need to know Jesus. You're about to enter eternity and you need to know. And I shared the gospel as best I could. And he sat there with tears in his eyes, and he affirmed the fact, yep, I'm good with God, I promise. And I spent another 5 minutes making sure that James knew Jesus. Now, the goal was James was going to go home on rehab, hopefully to get stronger, but if that didn't work, he was going to go home on hospice. And this was a Thursday, and Monday he took his last breath on earth. So, lesson? Yeah, learned. We have to share the gospel. We have to share the gospel. And so, with my friend David, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. With James, I'm going to share. I'm going to share. So, with that as our intro, God is going to tell Ezekiel, you need to be a watchman and share what I've told you. Ezekiel 33:1, notice what it says. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people and say to them, When I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land will take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. Now, again, let me give you some culture. Most cities in that time, they had walls. You understand that, right? And this is how they protected themselves. They built walls around them. Now, again, what they would do is they would assign a certain person, say, you're the watchman. And what they would do is they would crawl up in the wall. Okay, they were watchmen on the wall. And then they would see if there was imminent danger coming. Okay, makes a lot of sense. And what they would do as the watchmen, it was their responsibility to go, oh, here comes an army. And they would blow the trumpet to warn the people. And this was the watchman on the wall. This is what they were called to do. The watchman was the most important job in the whole city because they were the ones that the people relied on to warn them. warn them. And the word of God says to us, he says, when I bring an army against a country, the people of that land will choose one of their own to be a watchman. So when he says the word sword there, guys, he says, speak to the people. When I bring a sword, he's really talking about an army. He says, when I bring an army against them. So you would see this giant army coming. He'd be like, and he would have to warn the people in the city. What would he warn them? We're about to go to war. Be ready. Be ready. Judgment is coming. And so the people inside the city would get the battering rams. They'd be ready. They'd try to find the attack. They would muster, if you will, what they were called to do. But they relied on the watchman. They relied on the watchman to tell the truth. Okay? In this case, you could jot down, Ezekiel was the watchman. Okay? Now, he's not on the wall, but he's going to prophesy to the nation of Israel. This is what he's been doing. He's been prophesying to them. Now, tune in, Christian, tune in. Because what happened is that he's prophesying to them. Okay? The Bible says that he became mute. And we talked about that just a little bit. It wasn't that he couldn't speak anymore. But contextually is that the people stopped listening. They were like, why? Because they didn't have social media like we do. Okay? If there was a siege, they didn't know about it for 2 years. I'm in Babylon. Mark this. Babylon's 900 miles away from Jerusalem. It would take 2 years to get over there. And so Ezekiel goes, hey, Jerusalem's going to fall. And everybody goes, really? I didn't see that on my Twitter feed, did you? I don't think he's telling the truth. It's fake news. That's what they would do, right? So they stop listening. They stop listening. Now, when I paint this picture, here's what I want you to do. I want you to realize the world you're living in and how you begin to share the gospel, and you'll get that same thing. You're going, am I not talking? Am I not talking, Raina? They're not listening. And usually it's family and friends. They're not listening. I feel like it's falling on deaf ears. What is... Pastor Ben, how do I evangelize? And we do. But again, remember, I want you to think about this. And so he says, Ezekiel, get up on the wall. You got to warn the people. And he says, when you see the sword, when you see the army coming, verse 3, in the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whenever he hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take a warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, guess what? His blood shall be on his own head. Now, again, notice what he says. He sees the army. They're coming. Here they come. If he blows the trumpet, he's going to warn the people. Notice verse 4. Then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet, oh, the army's coming, but does not take the warning. He says, if the sword comes and takes them away, he's clean. He's clean before the Lord. He's like, I warned him. So the watchman did his job. He blew the trumpet. He saw. He was diligent to do that. But something that jumps out of the text, and I don't know if you caught it, it's something called free will. Free will. Did you see that? You go, free will. Yeah. The watchman goes, hey, there's the army coming. You know, warn everybody. He sounds the alarm. But the city, the people, well, they have free will. Free will, then if those who hear the alarm and refuse to take action, he says, it's their own fault if they die. Why? Because everyone has a choice, do they not? Everyone has a choice. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas. He is teaching us through the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament. This lesson is from our Wednesday night study over the major prophet Ezekiel. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in this verse-by-verse overview of the Old Testament prophets. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. Click on the prayer request link, fill it out, and submit it, and one of our prayer warriors will get to work. If you are in Lubbock or the surrounding areas, I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. We are located in Lubbock, Texas at 4218 Boston Avenue at Calvary Chapel Church. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. We hope this episode has encouraged you to love God, love people, and live radically. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness.